Spartans to Mission Debrief. We're playing every mission of the mainline Halo video game series in chronological order, discussing our experiences and sprinkling in a little lore along the way. If you'd like to play along and have your thoughts read on the show, email us at podcastevolved@gmail.com or drop us a tweet at podcastevolved on Twitter. We'll be playing the Oni Alpha Site mission from Halo 3 ODST on the next episode. This episode, we're debriefing the Kanzinga Boulevard mission from Halo 3 ODST. I'm your host, Colin Perkins, alongside David Arnold.
Hello, everybody.
And Krista Brown.
Time for some boom boom. And not what you're thinking. like tank explodey stuff.
Last mission, Uplift Reserve. Dutch shook off a sandy landing and headed into the local nature reserve to rendezvous with his fellow Marines. Amidst some heavy vehicle combat and other explosive heroics, we witness the terrifying collapse of the new Mombasa space elevator. Dutch manages to escape the chaos and finds himself in the heart of the city to continue his search for Alpha 9. This mission, Mickey stumbles into some fierce battle between the Covenant and the UNSC and is ordered to command a Scorpion tank. We then proceed to blow up half the city in order to push back the Covenant and save as many Marines as possible. Mickey eventually teams up with Dutch to help defend the Marine rally point just outside Oni Alpha Site. The date of the game, we're still October 20th, as we will be for the duration, 2552, 90 minutes after drop, so 1700 hours, 36 minutes. Before we start and kind of dive into the mission, we're back in Mombasa Street, so we got to find the beacon. So we're going to kind of walk you through how to get there, just kind of a high level. We talked about in the last episode, we're not going to find all of the Sadie's story terminals throughout the throughout the mission or this area. It's up to you to find it. We may kind of point a couple out here and there, but if you hear something ringing or some see some lights guiding you, go do that if you want, or take Chris's advice and say just wait till the very end. But there is actually a benefit, and David, do you want to kind of talk about the benefit of actually picking these up along the way?
Yes, I will. So there are supply caches scattered throughout the city, and these are these little kind of bunkers that only open when you have a certain number of, I can't remember which is, I think it's every 5, it might be more, it might be like 10, 15, 20, I'm not 100% sure, but these different caches will open up, and inside them are like different weapons, power weapons of UNSC origin, and they are awesome. They're super handy. It's really worthwhile doing them as soon as you can during the game, just to have these weapons when you have on the streets, so you can go in and you get like all grenades, you get pistols, they'll have SMGs,
sniper
rifle, rocket launchers, some of them will have assault rifles, and in some cases you'll even get a mongoose, which is super fun when you're kind of shooting around this map using the mongoose in the city. It's super cool. So if you're like me and you've already done all this and you're playing this game again, and you already have all these supply caches unlocked, and they show up with a little, what I'm going to call an Aaron face, also known as the monitor. So it has that little symbol over it, and they're super cool. A few of them have like all these kind of glyphs and kind of glowy faces and stuff that you can see in your visor. So like they're just super cool. They're super handy. I love that they put them in the game.
Yeah, and we kind of talked about it in one of the earlier episodes where I feel like I'm switching guns or running out of ammo quite a bit in the Mombasa Streets area.
Yeah, this is why these are great.
Yep, so the caches are super, super duper handy to stumble along. But Krista, you don't play with any of the caches, so...
Right now I'm not playing with any of the caches, no. I haven't actually gone through this game and gotten all the audio logs, so I don't have any caches right now. Yeah.
You're cashless.
I am cashless.
Short
please.
On cash.
I'm starting a Patreon.
GoFundMe. Give Krista cash. All right, so we are going to continue on, and there's like some snipers up on top and like these skyways, so heads up for those, because I think in one of the major encounters here is you see some brutes up ahead, and you kind of be sneaky, but if you get too far ahead and there's like a turret kind of way off in the distance, if you sneak too far ahead, like a jackal will snipe you in the back of the head. So you do have to be careful in a couple different spots. Maybe we talked about it in one of the earlier episodes, but Krista, are you finding yourself like trying to sneak around to the next beacon, or are you just kind of going and approaching it like any other Halo mission where you're just kind of clearing out the areas?
I'm definitely not sneaking that much. On higher difficulties, I will sneak, but just because of we're trying to get the story more than anything else, I'm just kind of casually making my way towards the beacon and just killing everything in my wake.
Mm-hmm. I feel like in this area more than others. So these areas kind of unlock. The city unlocks as you go on. So the very first mission, Tayari Plaza, you can really only get to that beacon, and there's not much exploring to do. But the more you go, the more you unlock, the more missions you play, eventually the entire city becomes open. In this setting of Mombasa streets before the Kazinga Boulevard mission, it seemed like there were a lot of alternate paths, a lot more than I had noticed before, where you kind of go through buildings or there's like a little alleyway you can open up a door. One of those alleyways you can open up to this courtyard where these giant like black pillars with all these kind of upside down looking hieroglyphs on them, and there's two engineers just floating above this thing, and like there's some dead elites down below. Krista, do you know, is there any significance of this? Did you find this for one, I guess? And
I think I found it before just because there are engineers in there. One of the achievements is to kill all the engineers on the map.
Okay.
But I have no idea the significance of this particular room.
David, do you have any insight?
I think it's still in investigative, because I know it was about a year ago, but I know my friend Crazy Chris, shout out to Crazy Chris over on Halopedia, he was taking screenshots of them and looking in them, and I think he has them loosely translated. I don't think there's anything crazy significant about this room in terms of like the higher or kind of the more extended lore, but these hieroglyphs are everywhere, but I think this room shows you them writing them or scanning them, so I think it's kind of showing you the link that they were written by the engineers, that your visor is picking these things up, so they're not human, they are in fact, you know, Hergok writings of some sort.
Yeah, they're writing Forerunner, wouldn't they?
Yeah, I guess so.
Yeah. I wasn't sure if, like, I mean, I guess as I'm thinking about it, it would make sense that those pillars were probably there as a part of the city versus the Covenant putting those pillars there.
Oh, yeah, no, the pillars, I think, are just part of something. Of that garden courtyard area, I think. I don't know.
Yeah.
They themselves have significance as opposed to the writing that's on them.
But then there's a couple of dead elites nearby, so just kind of part of the, I guess, pre-schism events. You know, that's where a few of the elites lost their lives to the Brutes or the rest of the Covenant in that area. You continue on, and you kind of go through this alleyway. You kind of go through this giant black gate. We're just kind of proceeding through Mombasa streets as normal, and a whole lot of other things. I found a drop pod. Did you guys find that drop pod?
Oh, no, I didn't.
Is it the one by the hunters?
I didn't find any hunters.
Okay. I went a different way than you.
Yeah, there's a piece of trivia for that. I think they say it's either Mickey's or Romeo's, because you don't see either of those in the game.
Okay.
Of whose drop pod.
So I found a different drop pod.
Oh, well, maybe I just somehow missed the hunters. Would I have missed the hunters?
No, not if you were going that way. They're under like a... They're from the very beginning of the Dutch mission, where there are hunters. If you remember there.
No. You mean the last mission we just played?
Not that one. Buck. Sorry.
Oh, yeah, I know where you're talking
about. Buck's mission, yeah. It's the same. There's still hunters there if you come by there as the rookie.
Oh.
If you're talking about, you can jump up onto the roof, and that's Buck's drop pod.
So I found Buck's. Yeah, that was Buck's drop pod.
There's a audio thing up there.
That's why I went up there and found it.
Yeah, I gotcha. Yeah, the drop pod I'm talking about, it's like in the middle of another, kind of similar to the hieroglyph area with the engineers. It's just in the middle of a courtyard. So it's probably Mickey's. That would make sense, right? You're kind of in that area.
Yeah, because Dutch is at the reserve. His drop pod's at the reserve.
So it's either Mickey's or Romeo's.
Yeah, I guess, because Romeo's kind of nearby. Anyway, there is another part where you see some more hieroglyphs in this area. You know, again, you have to have your visor on to see those, and it kind of leads you into a door, and you kind of head through. Excuse me, I'm kind of getting ahead of myself. So there was another area after the pillars that takes you to some hieroglyphs that there's a bunch of dead elites. And I'm forgetting what weapon you pick up there, but there is like a beam rifle or something like that in that corner. So you can kind of snag that. But then further on, so now we're almost to the beacon, and that's where you kind of go inside a building and up some stairs, and then you find you're hopping over some dead bodies, and you find a Goss turret way up top, and that's where you cue in this Mickey mission, Kazinga Boulevard. So this is 90 minutes after the drop, and Mickey's like, it's a little bizarre. I don't know. David, do you like this, the beginning of this mission? Mickey kind of seems like a dope.
Yeah, he does. Mickey,
he does, yeah. They totally play him off as that kind of character. Well, it's Alan Tudyk being Alan Tudyk in the same way that it's Nathan Fillion being Nathan Fillion in terms of like who these characters are. So these characters, like we said, they're almost our Firefly characters that they're playing again. So we never mentioned in the previous episode, you know, Dutch has been voiced by Adam Baldwin, who is not one of the Baldwins, he's just a totally different dude, but I don't think he is. But anyway, he's like the voice actor of that, and he plays a slightly similar, but like actually a way different character than he does in Firefly, so that's kind of what you said in terms of he doesn't have much of a personality there, so he's kind of playing something way different, where this is just Alan Tudyk being Alan Tudyk, and being a kind of dopey kind of character. Mickey is the kind of heavy weapons specialist guy, which you wouldn't know by him, but
I thought we said Dutch was.
No, Dutch is heavy. Sorry, Mickey is the explosives.
Yeah.
Yeah, yeah. So you wouldn't think someone with explosives has this kind of like dopiness, I guess, to him, but he has an unusual sense of humor, and he's really kind of like not interested, do you know what I mean, in terms of what's going on.
Right.
He's very much always trying to look for a way out, and seems almost the kind of like that lazy soldier that you kind of see sometimes in movies and portrayed and stuff like that, that this guy who's just in this war but has no interest in it and is always looking for just the easy way out of it. He comes across as that kind of guy. And there's some dialogue later on in the mission which that kind of sparked that thought in my brain. So yeah, it's cool just seeing the Marines shout at this ODST.
Yeah.
These ODSTs are supposed to be these elite dudes. You have these Marines just shouting at this guy, "Get off the street, dumbass." You know? It's pretty cool.
Yep. And you kind of have to go and get the Scorpion. I mean, not, I don't know why you wouldn't want to, but there's so much chaos and there's so much Covenant, you got to sprint for that thing. Are you guys recalling on Legendary, is it sometimes even hard to get to the Scorpion, cuz it's a little ways away?
There's two of them. So there's one that's driving that you can commandeer, but there's a parked one just around the corner. It is tough. Oh. You have to make a beeline for it on the harder difficulties and not engaging the troops on the ground. But like, obviously, they're going to slaughter all the Marines pretty quick on the higher difficulties. So you've got to go for the tank in order to kind of survive.
And you kind of test your parallel parking skills, I guess.
There's some tight corners. Kind of
small,
sure.
Yeah. Like, this is probably the tightest mission in all
and
of
the
Halo,
tank does not tank. Handle well.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, you have to go back and then kind of turn and go back. Yeah, it's a little.
And there's
funky.
A bunch of rubble everywhere, so you're getting stuck on stuff constantly.
Yeah, I feel like I'm not necessarily, especially in this opening area, I'm not necessarily cleaning everybody out, but you do need to clear out a good chunk. I think there's a wraith behind you.
There is, yeah. You got to take out that wraith super quick because it will get you. Because like, there's no room to maneuver.
Yep, and there's a bunch of brutes that are, I think they have brute shots, and they're pummeling you from the side. So you do have to take a good chunk of the forest out before you kind of proceed. And I didn't see a waypoint that popped up. I don't believe it. You know, you assume that you have to go somewhere, but you just kind of have to pick an alley and hope you pick the right one.
There's kind of only one way to go, to be fair.
Yeah.
Because like the Covenant have all these kind of big force fields up on the. In certain areas that prevent you from going anywhere. So like, that's cool. It's the only mission in Halo that has you starting with a rocket launcher, so that's kind of interesting.
Huh.
Yeah. Or sorry, the only in the entire game, in this game anyway.
In this game.
I know. Yeah. Halo 2, I think you can start with one, don't you? You do. Anyway, doesn't matter. You come out of a drop pod, so I guess it's kind of related to this.
Yeah. So we'll kind of keep going through here. They'll be you kind of winding through the streets here. There's some Covenant up in the skyways. You gotta keep a heads up. Skyways ore on tops of buildings along the way, so you gotta keep a heads up for that. There'll be a squad of Marines that's pinned down in the next area that you, I mean, it says you have to help them out, so you gotta go and kind of clear out the areas. Lots of dropships, ghosts, you know, a lot of times, like, a dropship, I'd have, like, a dropship drop off a bunch of Covenant, and then it would then also drop off a ghost, not necessarily at the same spot, the same time.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, you're right.
But, you know, kind of different waves of dropping, and then, you know, ideally you're taking out that turret on the dropship too, because that thing will pummel you. You know, I was flaming, as always. my scorpion's on fire. I took a lot of damage, but I made it through the end on the scorpion. There's just lots going on, and you have to be fairly precise with the cannon on the scorpion. But you do get a lot of Marine buddies that are just kind of hopping on as you go too. So as you're clearing people out, or, you know, there's some there to start with that are helping at least a little bit. So you do get some assistance along the way.
Curious thing. This is the first time, unlike Halo 2 and in Halo 3, you can ride on the side. So in all the other games, only the NPCs could do that, but you can actually ride on the side of these tanks.
Yep.
Which is the first time you could do it in Halo 3.
Do either of you guys do that?
Yeah, no. I mean, I accidentally did it, but I don't want to just die.
Yeah, exactly.
That's a suicide mission.
It's a terrible place to sit. I don't know why they do it all in these games, but it's an awful. Like, nobody survives. Nobody, you're just cannon fodder. You're just like human armor for the
tank.
Your
target practice.
It's crazy.
Let me just pile Marines on my scorpion so that it doesn't take any damage.
It's like that scene from the South Park movie where it shows you, like, strapping all the kind of soldiers are actually just physically strapped onto the front of the vehicles and tanks and planes. It's just right. as protection. It's like, oh god, it's just comical.
I don't want to scratch the paint job, so I just need pile all the corpses on top of my vehicle.
Strap this human.
Yeah. One of the encounters that you get to is there's, like, a gazebo thing in the center of a circle.
It's got, like, payphones in it when you go on numerous streets.
Yeah, right. So that's kind of a fun one. There's a couple different shade turrets surrounding it. And I think this is where you also get some drop pods dropping off some Covenant on top. And there might be, like, there's a plasma cannon that you got to deal with at some point. So that's kind of a bigger encounter there. The comms do pop on and say they have an ODST that's great with explosives. They might even say artist.
Yeah, that they're talking about you, but, like, I don't know why they think you are. I guess just because you've made it this far in a tank, they think you're great with explosives. Because I don't remember there being any dialogue about, like, you being good with explosives.
Right. Yeah, and I almost thought it was Dutch. You know?
Yeah, like, I got confused too.
It doesn't make sense now.
Yeah, I'm like, who are they talking about? Oh, they're talking about me. And I'm like, but Mickey hasn't done anything. So I think it's just the fact that you did what you did to get there has impressed these Marines to such an extent that you are now an artist.
You're an artist, an explosive artist.
An artiste.
Mm-hmm. So it's just fun, you know, blowing stuff up with a scorpion, as always. Here we do get another comms message saying that we need to proceed through the door that says Kazinga Boulevard. So that's what we're going to do. And I guess I never picked up, and maybe I should have looked it up before, if there's anything significant about that area, Kazinga Boulevard specifically.
Right before you get to it, in that courtyard area, there's another tank that's fully healed. So that's obviously very useful on higher difficulties. If you're on fire, you can jump out and change tanks.
Gotcha.
Other than that area, no, there's nothing of significance I can think of.
Yeah. You do see a Dutch marker kind of pop up in the distance, so you know that you're getting close to Dutch, which is kind of fun because you just played as Dutch, right?
Yeah.
This mission, so you know who he is, at least a little bit more. And, it makes sense that you would try to link up with your ODST buddy. You hear somebody say, wait until they're in the kill zone. So I think that's Dutch talking to your...
Dutch is over the mic.
That he has.
One of the Marines, it's the Marine on the Gauss cannon.
Oh, right. Yep, from the Gauss cannon that you found.
Yeah, he's talking. Like, once you come into the boulevard, you see, like, there's, like, a fortified position, and there's a Marine on a Gauss cannon, and he, like, jumps the gun and, like, panics.
Yeah, he gets an itchy trigger finger and kind of breaks the line.
Mm-hmm. I get you.
And it dies immediately. So.
And then there's kind of in this next area here, you have some wraiths, at least one wraith, and then some banshees to deal with too. So I mean, it's just chaos. This whole area is just chaos.
Just well, kind of slowly it doesn't walk help it that it's like just corridors.
Yeah, right. And all the guns are pointed at you.
Yeah, yeah. It gets very claustrophobic as a tank in these small city streets.
Yeah. That Goss cannon, you can actually get out, and I did anyway. I got the scorpion just to go up and see if I could use it, but you can't use that turret, the Goss cannon turret up there, which is disappointing.
I think it's supposed to be broken.
Yeah, I think you're right.
It is broken, but if you're quick enough, you can save a second one, and you can use a Ghost turret here.
Oh, you can?
You can. There's two, but this like by using one, you're like a sitting duck. So like it's not great. Do you know what I mean? Yeah, I mean you got wraiths, and like you said, there's crazy stuff going on in here, and there's I think there's jump pack brutes. Is am I wrong here? Maybe there's not jump pack brutes.
No, but
there's
no like jump pack.
No.
There's a phantom comes down and drops loads of brutes and enemies on top of that area. So like it's not really great to sit and wait unless you're playing co-op or something. You know, and you have someone there supporting you.
Gotcha. You're all right, so yeah, I just went and checked that out anyway, so, but yeah, no luck, couldn't fire that. I went back into my tank, pursued a little further, more dropships, more ghosts, more turrets, just lots of stuff.
I hate having fun in a tank, it's so horrible.
Well, I mean, it's fun. I mean, I love this mission. It's a hard one to actually talk through and say, like, make sure you gotta kill this one over here, and this is just a lot, right? So yeah. It's fun to make things go explode. And, you know, there's always somebody on the rooftops, or there's always something, you know, some Covenant stuff to blow up along the way. So it's just, this one feels like a harder mission, even though it is a straight corridor, just to kind of walk through everything that's going on, because it's so much. But yeah, enjoy yourself. If you're not enjoying yourself, enjoy yourself in this mission, because it is fun.
Oh, you don't enjoy it on, like, Legendary, though. It's really difficult on Legendary.
Yeah. Yeah, those Covenant weapons are hit a lot harder on Legendary. A lot of explosions on your end. You explode quite a bit on Legendary. So we're getting closer to Dutch, and at one point he says he's out of rockets, I think, is what I heard. He says he's out of rockets, and he asks to take out... Oh, because this is where you're kind of doing their stronghold here. So you gotta connect with Dutch, get out of the tank. You have to get out of the tank. In this little area, kind of walk around, and then Dutch pops out of this, or he's actually at the top of the door, right in front of the door, and then the door's open, and a bunch of Covenant just pour in. So now you're on foot, and you have to proceed to kind of this, you're getting to in front of the Oni Alpha Site building is where you're going. That's where you're gonna have to like make your last stand right there. But anything interesting? I mean, you just kind of have to do some slot. I mean, this is a fun area, actually. When these doors open, once you clear the area, then it's just kind of like an alleyway shoot where you can either stand there and snipe, or maybe, you know, take out a few guys and proceed up to a blockade. David, anything interesting that you do in this area here before you get to the kind of that firefight area, I guess?
Right before you meet Dutch.
Dutch here, and then you kind of have to proceed to the next area to kind of like hold out. But maybe we just talk about that firefight area where you kind of there's all those blockades there right in front of the building.
That's a firefight map. Yeah, I know what you're talking about. Yeah. This is super cool. So like there's loads of great weapons up here. So pretty much almost everything you need other than rocket.
I didn't find very many.
There's a shotgun, a sniper, and there's some grenades and stuff up there. And I think
maybe I saw the shotguns. I just didn't want to use them for this mission, just because I wanted the long range weapon.
Yeah, there is. I'm pretty sure there's fusion cannons at some stage, because I remember coming. Because that's what happened. Like I had a fusion cannon. I don't know where I picked it up, but I had one, and I pretty much hung around and waited for the raid to come in. And then that was my goal, was just to take out the raid as soon as possible. So I didn't go up the top to where all the Marines are holding up with those barricades. I just went round to the right as soon as you come in the door, waited for the raid to drop in, and then just spammed it with fuel rods, and then legged it up the top then, because I needed ammunition, I had nothing else. So that's kind of what I do, and I like to focus on the raid as soon as possible.
Okay.
And then there's obviously like a ton of brute top with jackal snipers. You've got to be careful. Loads of jackals in here. Loads of grunts. Loads of grenades flying. It's hectic. Like, it's crazy.
It's very hectic. this whole mission. I mean, I feel super fun. I didn't have the score on because you know how you can do that in MCC, but I'm sure the score, you can rack up lots of points in this mission. The one weird thing, I guess, as an aside, I think before those doors open to get into the kind of that rally point, the firefight area, is I noticed when I was switching between my rocket launcher and my secondary weapon, the rocket launcher makes a really weird sound that I wasn't used to. Did you guys notice that at all? Like, it makes this just bizarre, like, mechanical electronic sound.
No, I didn't notice that.
Maybe some of our listeners noticed that, but it just, I wasn't used to it. Maybe it's the standard sound for the rocket launcher. Is it the spanker? Are you guys remembering if it's a spanker or if it's a different one?
It's spanker.
I don't know. It just sounded weird to me. Maybe I just haven't used a rocket launcher enough to this point. I feel like maybe in Halo 3 I use a rocket launcher a lot, but just haven't used it too much up until this point. Anyway, so we have this big firefight area, and it's no joke. You know, I mean, it's a difficult area. Krista, what's your approach generally in this spot?
I ran up and I grabbed a silenced SMG and a sniper rifle.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, and then I just took out the enemies as they came, and then...
So you're mostly at a distance, right?
Yeah. And then for the Wraith, I boarded and planted a grenade.
Nice. I think I did the same, because when you kind of, like, run at it, and it'll back up.
As long as you take out the turret, the gunner...
Yep.
You can run right up to it. It can't really do anything unless it wants to blow itself up.
Yeah. Yeah, I took the turret guy out from way, a long ways away with a sniper rifle.
Yep.
And then I ended up just, I think I just charged it eventually. I kind of used the full area all the way up top. It was just kind of winding around all the way up top and just grabbing whatever I could find for the head, some decent ammo in it. But then there's always like some brutes in the center that don't really come up and charge after you. So they just kind of, they hang out in there and they have a brute shot. And there's, you know, usually a couple grunts that you have to end up clearing out as well. So yeah, this is a good, and it's a good teaser for firefight. I think this area and specifically is like, okay, this is kind of what that mode's all about.
Yeah, definitely. It definitely, a lot of like places in these missions are, you know, firefight maps, and they always kind of highlight the area by giving you a little firefight in each of these little areas. So,
You guys notice that Dutch is just full of pink needles all the time?
No.
No, I did not. This is for me. Like, just getting needled.
I would just wind around to one area and then kind of come back to the center where Dutch is, and he's just littered with pink needles.
I like how in the games, like, a Marine can be covered in like 30 of them, and then they're like, I'm fine. But in a book, like, one person gets hit by a needle, they instantly die.
Yeah, right. Yep, and you know, Dutch, they can't kill Dutch during this mission, so he's just gonna take it. He's gonna take it all.
Yeah. I have enough biofoam. I'll be fine.
Exactly.
Yep.
My organs will find a new place to live in my body.
Mm-hmm. And there's not any really boss in these firefights. It's just, you know, clear out the wave. So once you finally clear out all the Covenant, and I mean, who knows how many there are, but there's a lot. Once you finally clear out everybody, the other one I mentioned, or forgot to mention, is there's usually like a detachment of Jackals and grunts just kind of off to the side, and there's like a lot of them. I think this is the area where I got like a kill five grunts with one grenade, or kill five Covenant with one grenade achievement, so that was fun. Lots of good grenade spots in this area too. We haven't really talked about that much. So once we cleared out, we're doing cutscene and we're done. I mean, it's a fun mission. It's
not a lot of lore.
No, not a whole lot to find either. It's pretty straightforward, but it's a lot of explosions, and you know, there's a lot of Covenant in between you and this Oni Alpha site. Krista, do you want to do the end cutscene real quick?
Sure. The door. So the place you end up right behind the barriers is the entrance to the Oni Alpha site, which is very important. We'll get into the importance of Oni and stuff next mission. But the door opens and the guy's like, any of you guys good at explosives? And that's pretty much it. Yeah.
Yep. Yeah, the Dutch and Mickey are kind of talking about how, like, well, maybe we'll just kind of wait it out here. We're just not going to do anything. And then the door opens, and they're like, well, okay, well, I guess we're going to keep going. So no rest for the weary. It is interesting to note, though, that now Buck and Romeo are together, and Dutch and Mickey are together. So we'll kind of see how that unfolds as we continue on with the game. Yes. Then end cutscene, and then we go back to Mombasa Streets, and the rookie's there, you know, kind of checking out this Goss canon, and we'll continue that on in the next episode. What else do we have? David, any other trivia that we want to touch on?
No, that's it, really. Just a little bit on... There's an achievement for getting into one of those Banshees. It's very difficult to do. Look up videos on how to do it. They make it look simple. I've been struggling with it. But it is possible, and it's an achievement to do it.
Okay, cool. All right, well, let's do... I post a community question, as always, so let's just kind of cover off on that quick, and we will get out of here.
Yeah, sure. So, Colin Perkins posted, what's the most satisfying thing to destroy Scorpion in Halo 3 ODST? In brackets, Consingo Boulevard. So, we have Reflex Reigns as a grunt. That's pretty good. Elton 94 has
grunt.
Yeah, has phantoms are always fun. I think you could destroy one in that mission. You could, because I tried to do it, and it is very satisfying to blow up phantoms. Matt said,
how many shots did it take? Do you remember?
Oh, I can't remember. Like loads, more than four, I think.
But they hang around for a while, so they're hovering up there.
They can, yeah. They're easy enough. Just gotta focus fire on them, really. Matt says, either phantom or sniping something from far away. It's always fun to be precise with something not made for precision. I understand that and get that and respect that. Nothing I run for it on foot or with the wrath. I think the rate is what Brother Duck says. On Facebook, David Elwood said, phantoms. That's pretty cool. Jose said, everything. All I leave is a path of destruction, so the Covenant knows you don't want to mess with humanity. I like
nice.
That.
Nice.
David Edward came back with, if you asked about Metropolis or Delta Halo, it would be Banshees at extreme range. That is also very satisfying.
Mm-hmm.
A fellow Marine or accidentally or intentionally running over your brother playing with you in the campaign. That's by Brian.
That's pretty funny.
That's my answer as well. Marines are the best to kill with the scorpions.
With scorpions.
I actually just ran, like, the ones trying to get into your tank. I just plowed right through them.
You did?
Yeah, I didn't stop for them. They're going to die anyway if they get on the tank. Right? Yeah.
Oh, man. All right. Well, that'll do it for our debriefing of Kazingo Boulevard, the Boom Boom mission from Halo 3 ODST. On the next episode, we'll be covering Oni Alpha Site. Send us your thoughts at podcastevolved@gmail.com or drop us a tweet at podcastevolved on Twitter. Until next time, evolved.
Evolved.